Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, August 1st, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 97, the second paragraph. We seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes through two paragraphs, ending, the family will find life more bearable. And we're going to be reading and commenting on those two paragraphs only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Readers of the text, Deb E., Kara L., and Dana P. The reference number for Monday, July 31st, is 20,490. That's 20490. And for this morning, Tuesday, August 1st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,492. That's 20492. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Loretta M., and Lois P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service and everybody here with us today. My name is Joanne L., recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, eat be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service. Have a great meeting. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 97, the second paragraph. We seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes, reading through two paragraphs today, ending with, "The family will find life more bearable." And we're reading and commenting on these two paragraphs only today. So I will now ask Deb E. to begin reading.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. We seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes for a long time. It is not good for him, and it sometimes creates serious complications in the family. Though an alcoholic does not respond, there is no reason why you should neglect his family. You should continue to be friendly to them. The family should be offered your way of life. Should they accept and practice spiritual principles, there is a much better chance that the head of the family will recover. And even though he continues to drink, the family will find life more bearable. So at first I was looking at these paragraphs. I didn't look at them ahead of time. But I was just looking at them a few minutes ago going, what do I have to share? But something always comes up. It's amazing how in this book, even if at first I can't think of something immediate, there is always something to share on it. And my only experience with somebody not actually living in my home but asking, I had a sponsee at one point years ago, and I was only a couple of years into program, so I hadn't, you know, it was completely new to me, and I don't even know if I knew of anyone who had done this, but she asked me, she was feeling like really shaky with food, and she asked if she could come stay with me for a few days, and I, you know, I can't say I said yes and was all generous and benevolent. I was pregnant at the time with my first child, and I had gone through infertility, and I was already like really like kind of scared and protective of the pregnancy, and I was just afraid to have somebody I really didn't know at all in my house. So I had said no, but I remember it's always really stuck with me because I continued to sponsor her after that, and I think she was fine, but I don't know how I would have felt if, you know, she had like left program after that. Not that that would have been all on me, but there's part of me that like to say, like, I'd like to have that story, like, oh yes, I was such a generous person and let my sponsee live with me for a while. But I didn't. And I don't know how good it would have been for her. You know, the second sentence here really reminds me, it's not necessarily the best thing. And this part about being friendly with the family, I don't have experience with that, but I can imagine how much comfort it may offer a family to know, even if like the addict and the family that they're worried about isn't making any changes, just to know, like to finally find out that there are people, that they're getting to meet people who are living proof that working these steps works. You know, we can find recovery. We can find freedom from the prison of this disease. And just to kind of, you know, have some hope to hold on to. And I feel like so much of our program is about hope. And just when people share their experience, strength, and hope, just knowing that, you know, it works. It's not some like abstract or theoretical thing we hear about, you know, learning about meeting people who are in program, who are living this life, who are working the steps, I think really makes a difference. And, you know, I was just kind of thinking about this part. If the family takes on the principles, I wonder how I would have responded as the addict. Like if the people around me and my family would have started, you know, to live a spiritual life, if I would have responded well to that or not. I think it could create an incredible support if the person then does, you know, decide to practice these principles and work these steps. But that's kind of something to think about. Anyhow, I will pass with that. I think my time is probably almost up, and look forward to listening to everyone share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb E., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these two paragraphs. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? Press star 1 if you'd like to share.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Sherry M.
Sherry M.
Elizabeth A.
Elizabeth A. Okay, let's get started with those three, Donna B., Sherry M., and Elizabeth A. Donna B., go ahead. Please share with us.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver, Colorado. I shared a couple weeks ago that in March, I had a series of unfortunate events. I had foot surgery. I had a mass removed from my breast that resulted in a staph infection and a wound that needed to be treated for 12 weeks, and 4 different rounds of antibiotics, stronger and stronger and stronger, and a friend of mine was murdered by her husband. I was in a lot of physical pain, emotional pain, fear, and grieving, and during that time, I was kind of sponsoring. There were a few people who considered me to be their sponsor. They had finished the step work. They were sponsoring themselves. They were sending me their nightly review and would occasionally check in with 10 steps. But I wasn't aggressively seeking the opportunity to sponsor new people. The number of outreach calls I was making significantly dropped. So although not physical or in person, there was a significant drop in the activity of 12-step work that was happening inside of my home. And about 2 months ago, I had a relapse. I have about 60 days of abstinence now. And I'm continuing to reflect on what happened, you know? And I struggle with myself because I am prone to self-criticism. You know, should I have done more? Should I have been sponsoring? Should I have continued to make the phone call? Should I have, you know, continued to metaphorically let people into my home while I was going through this very difficult process? And I don't know what the right answer is. I continue to reflect on the past as an opportunity to learn in moving forward. But I'm also in the present, working the steps. I completed steps 5, 6, and 7 on Saturday. And I'm really grateful for that and all that I learned. So I guess I share my personal experience in the context of this paragraph in that maybe there just isn't one right answer. And for that, we have step 11 and step 10 and the opportunity to continue to connect with a higher power and a community of fellows to do what's quote unquote right for right now. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Sherry M., please share with us, followed by Elizabeth A.
Hi, good morning. This is Sherry M. calling, and I'm a great overeater in recovery in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And I hope I have good cell service, so if not, I'll try back. This paragraph, I listened to the earlier meeting, and nothing was resonating. And then all of a sudden, God put this thought in my mind, and it could bring me to tears. I was thinking of this is one of the areas where God has completely transformed my heart and helped me. I was incapable of having anybody in my home due to childhood trauma and PTSD and insecurity especially. I would think about, you know, like a sponsee coming into my home and what's going to happen with my husband and this woman, you know, just a lot of twisted thinking and sickness, soul sickness. And it took about 17 years in program. And now cut to my life today looks like we just had a couple stay with us. I would have anybody stay in our home. My home is wide open. I feel comfortable having people close by in an intimate setting like that. And it just brings tears to my eyes because I was so closed off when I came into program and really operating out of fear and insecurity. And so I'm so grateful that I just never gave up on doing the work, and these things get healed in God's time. And now I feel like I have a generosity of spirit and heart where I could open up my heart and trust God with all of those situations. And I'm just really grateful that God reveals truths and uncovers things and heals things in God's time. And it's always the perfect time. And I'm grateful for this journey today and for being open and being awake and alert and seeking my higher power in all I do. So thank you so much for letting me share. I passed on me. Thank you so much for your service. Bye.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. from Wyoming. Lizbeth A., please share with us. And if you're just joining us, we are on page 97. We're talking about the second paragraph there. We seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes. Reading through two paragraphs ending, the family will find life more bearable. So after Lizbeth shares, I will be taking some more names. So Lizbeth, please share with us.
Good morning. This is Lizbeth A. in Michigan. And I'm typically quiet, but I listen. These two paragraphs really struck me because it's just so. And the previous share, yeah, I've had a lot of shame about having people in my home and the trauma, embarrassment, and I'm not a great housekeeper. Just all that, that I have made slow, steady progress on. At one point, my husband and I actually took in someone, a friend of ours, a man, and his addiction was different. And we told him clearly that it was his responsibility to find recovery support, that we were not going to be his support, counselors, sponsors, anything. And he actually did what he needed to do. He was with us for 10 months, and I honestly was becoming resentful. And I was like, oh, he needs to get out. But we had some pretty strict parameters as far as if I was home alone, he would not come in the house, just to protect myself, protect him. He was estranged from his wife, and I was feeling resentful toward her. They ended up back together and recommitting their vows. And then another situation, my brother-in-law, who has an other addictions, plural, and got a felony, and he was going to live with us. And I felt pressured to say yes, because this is my husband's brother. And I did not want, not one cell in my body wanted him in my home. And when he came into our house, he started blaming his ex-wife. And I just thought, oh, this is not going to work. And miraculously, he found somewhere else to stay. And so, I really still have to work on my boundaries and work on my program, regardless of what another person chooses. But those two different experiences have just shown me that God's in charge, not me. And if we're in a position that we can help someone, I want to, but not at my own or my husband's expense. Anyway, thank you. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth A. from Michigan. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these two paragraphs. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Hi, my name's Nahama.
Nahama?
Yeah.
And where are you from, Nahama?
New York.
Okay, very good. And what's your initial?
K.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Who else would like to share? Please press star 1 if you'd like to share.
Donna B.
VG.
Donna B. Was that another Donna B?
It's Bonnie B.
Oh, Bonnie B. I'm sorry.
Good morning. Yes.
Yeah, Bonnie B. All right. And who else?
Sivia VG.
Sivia?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
VG?
VG.
Okay. Very good. And what other voice did I hear there?
Patricia P.
Patricia P.
Hannah B.
Hannah B.
Robin P.
Robin P. Okay, I have Nahama K., Bonnie B., Sivia VG, Patricia P., Hannah B., and Robin P. Did I miss anyone there? Okay, let's go with Nahama K. from New York, please, first. Go ahead and share with us.
Okay, thank you. I think it's the first time I'm on this meeting. Is there a time? Is there a timer?
Yes, yes, 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Actually, it's actually Nahama TK. I forgot about my middle initial. So this is so relevant. Like, this reading is so relevant to my situation right now. Because I have a friend who's wanted to come and stay for a few days, but she's not in recovery, and she's really, really difficult to get along with. And my sponsor told me, you know, I have to really just tell her, you know, it's not going to work, I'm sorry. Or she didn't even want me to say I'm sorry or explain, and it's really not my way. I feel very badly when I have to let go of people because I know how it feels, and I suffer a lot from abandonment issues myself. So I am going to try to explain to her in as loving a way as I can. My husband's really never wanted her to come, and he's always allowed her to come, you know, but it's very uncomfortable for him as well because she's very negative presence. So I'm a little confused about this because I do love to have an open home. I do love to have people come, but I also need boundaries around it to protect myself and my own sobriety, you know, my own emotional sobriety. And if people are like highly critical or difficult, I just don't have as strong an inner environment to just have love and tolerance all the time. And if it's going to affect the rest of my family, I don't know how healthy that is. So it's a confusing topic for me because I read the stories, you know, of the old timers and what they did for service, like it's so admirable, but I don't know if I'm up to that. I don't know if my husband's up to that. So, and I do live with a divorced daughter with her two children. So I have to think about everybody and not just, you know, saving one person and then perhaps sacrificing others. So thank you so much for this beautiful meeting. I do ask God to please heal all the broken places inside of me so I can be of maximum service to you, God, and your children. And thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Nahama TK from New York. Bonnie B., please share with us, followed by Sivia VG.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for everyone's service today. Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Gratefully recovered by the grace of my God today. So, you know, this paragraph to me, I am so codependent at times. And, you know, part of my disease is all about how do I fix, how do I save? And so I can run headlong into everything. I've got a husband who is very wise, and he will just, like, put the brakes on and say, let's pray about this. And, you know, following after peace, which is what my motto is, right? I mean, so often I want to, again, jump into everything and do everything that I can do because I feel like it's my job to do it. And I think sometimes what happens is I circumvent God because it's not my job to do anything other than to follow after peace and then do as he gives me direction to do. And are there times where I think it would be great to do something and my husband steps in and says, you know, I don't know, I don't have a peace about that. Yes, there are, because I think I fall under that heading of I get my values from other people, which is under the self-seeking, and image management, which is under the selfishness category. I just want everyone to think, wow, she's just so kind and she's so willing to do these things. And oftentimes to the detriment of other people, because in the end for me, and I think for most of us in this world, for me, I needed to connect with God. And I need to make sure that I'm continually pointing other people to God and not being what I think would be that fix, because I think that's it can be self-seeking on my part. It doesn't mean that I don't love them. It doesn't mean I don't encourage them. It just means that if I don't have a piece about it, I step back and I say something like, you know, as much as I wish I could make that happen, it's just not going to work. And then I try to be of service in any other way and maybe helping them to find someone else or a different environment or a different place or... but for me, it always comes down to following after that spirit of peace and loving them where they're at and remembering that God is the one who's going to do for them what only he can do, and it's not me. It will never be me. It's never been me. If God doesn't step in, then it's not. It would be, you know, my place to bring in, but as others have said, there has to be a peace about it, and it can't be to the detriment of my family or my children or my to be in alignment with God's will, and I have to be so mindful to stay out of my disease. And my disease very often runs back to I want to fix, I want to save, I want to protect, I've got the answer. But again, I don't have anything other than what God has given me, and the answer has always been run back to God. Run back to God. Take your eyes off of things that are eye level. People, places, things, institutions, all of those can become idols very quickly, and fix your eyes on the only one who can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And so, you know, it's the verdict is out. I follow after peace and I pray and I ask God and I ask my husband and others that are on the outside that don't live in this disease. So thank you so much for allowing me to share and I will pass. Blessings to you all.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Sivia VG, please share with us, followed by Patricia P.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. It's great to be here. I'm Sivia VG from Northern California. And blessings to all of you for being on this line today. So when I look at this particular, these two paragraphs, I think about the history of AA and when this book was written and the times it was written in. And I remember listening to tapes of other big book people. And it says, you know, they say, yes, you should go into their home. Well, I think the reason why this they should come and stay, but rarely, one of the gentlemen who wrote the book would have people stay in his house all the time. And he did have one man commit suicide in his house. And it severely affected, as you would imagine, him, his wife, his children. And so I think this is why there's a caveat. And now in OA, you know, I don't know very many people who do this. It's a different type of addiction. I mean, an addiction is an addiction. And so I really think that those of us, like myself, who want to be people pleasers, who want to have people like us, who may be, like me, a little codependent, we may want to do all that we can, and I extend this to offering medical advice, telling people what medicines they should take for a while. When I was early in the program, that was going on with a particular special interest group of this program, that this is saying, be careful. You know, we're not doctors, we're not, as it says later in the book, we're not psychiatrists or psychologists. We may not be able to handle, and it's okay, okay? And also about the family, I have rarely gotten involved with the family of an OAer, except if their family was in OA. And sometimes I would know that. I'm sponsoring someone now whose parent is in OA. But we don't talk because I'm not sponsoring the parent. And so I think, yeah, thanks. But just to say, look at this from a different perspective as to when it was written and how it was written. So I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sivia VG from California. Patricia P., please share with us, followed by Hannah B.
Yes, I'm Patricia P. from Barron Springs, Michigan. Yes, this part about though an alcoholic does not respond, there is no reason why you should neglect his family. I know the open AA meetings helped me to lead me to Overeaters Anonymous because one of the members just said she was a compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to share that I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and just want to be here to share my experience, strength, and hope. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Patricia P. from Michigan. Hannah B., please share with us, followed by Robin P.
Good morning. Hannah B. from Tennessee. Grateful to recover compulsive overeater. I'm so happy to be able to be on the line with all you guys. And I really, I love everyone's shares. And I have so much admiration for people who give themselves and all their time in their home to this, and it really feels like that's a calling for that person, you know, and it doesn't feel like it's necessarily the call for everybody, although service is, rigorous work with others is, you know, but it doesn't mean we have to let everyone into our home, you know, and it's like I have, you know, lots of small children, and I have, you know, my home is something I have to really keep a very safe space and protect. So I think there's a good amount of discernment that's called for in all this, and they speak to that. They really speak to here. To me, when I read these last few paragraphs that we've read, it speaks to my codependency. It checks that. And like a few other people have shared, it's like I have a tendency to give impulsively and compulsively because I think I have to, because it's, you know, and that's not necessarily helping someone. That's actually oftentimes, I've found, can be harming someone if I'm enabling someone. You know, and I had this epiphany and realization years ago. I can't remember exactly what it was around, but I have had a lot of experience with alcoholics. And I'm also one. And, you know, I had this realization that God does not enable. Like God's love is so perfect, and God doesn't enable, you know, and he doesn't support sickness, you know. He always answers. He always helps exactly the way we need to. So I think, you know, and when I want something, I don't just get everything I want. I get what I need, and oftentimes it comes in a package that in unexpected wrapping that I don't necessarily think I want. So I feel like, you know, if I'm aligned with higher power and I'm praying, I'm asking for direction, you know, then I will be guided because it will be in alignment with what God wants for this situation. And anytime there's like turmoil and, you know, conflict, like should I, it's like usually that means I should do nothing and I should pause and I should ask God, you know, for clarity, because the truth and the right action always, in my experience, brings a calm and peace. And so that's the best guide I know, you know, ultimately is to, and also to seek direction from fellows, because in, you know, my codependency is very linked with my addiction, my food addiction. And so I really need a sane outside mind sometimes to say to me, like, Anna, that's crazy. Do you see that that's crazy? Or, you know, time. I don't know, whatever. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Hannah B. Robin P., please share with us. And then after Robin, I'm going to be taking some more names. We are on page 97. Talking about the second paragraph, we seldom allow an alcoholic to live in our homes. Reading through two paragraphs ending, the family will find life more bearable. So after Robin P., if you'd like to share, please get ready. Go ahead, Robin P., please share with us.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater currently in LAJ, Georgia. You know, I'm so grateful that people have just been there for me, and I've been there for them. And even though we're traveling so much and we're doing a city a week right now, looking to see if we want to buy a home in the U.S. for half the year, we live in Costa Rica the rest of the year. And so it's pretty hectic sometimes. And sometimes, you know, there's a lot going on, moving so much. And with two newly retired jungle dogs from Costa Rica, and it's a lot, but I still know that I get to put my recovery first and be of service to my fellows and to God. And, you know, wherever we're going, it's such a blessing because we were just in Nashville and I got together with a couple of people from the program, and it was so lovely to meet face to face. I went for a walk with one of them, the other one we met for coffee, and it was just lovely and such a blessing. So I feel like whatever way we can do that and be of service to God and my fellows and be available, you know, the way people have been available for me. I'm just so grateful. And, you know, I really wholeheartedly believe in sponsoring and doing whatever service I can for the meeting. and just doing what I can and what God wants me to do, no matter how busy or how hectic things feel right now. And it's grounding, and it's just remembering what's most important in my life. And, you know, even though we can't take somebody in. And also, I've noticed that sometimes when somebody doesn't get recovered, their family starts getting recovered. And that's a blessing, too, that there's so many ways to be of service, and so many people, even if it's not the compulsive overeater, that can benefit from this program. And I also do believe that it's not good to have somebody live in their home for a long time. I think that can get very complicated, as it says. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. Thanks so much for your service, John, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. Pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Robin P., currently in Georgia. And now I'm going to take the names of a couple people who would like to share on this paragraph, on these two paragraphs. Although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So was that
Irma, New Jersey.
Irma.
Sharon E.
And Aaron E.
Sharon E.
Oh, Sharon E.
Linda P.
Please go ahead. Give us your initial and where you're calling from, and then we'll have Sharon E. Go ahead, Irma. Press star one.
Hi. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep. Can
Okay. I'm Irma. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm so grateful this meeting is here. I had to stay home today, may I say, because the tree people are here, and I have a regular meeting I've never missed, so it's a very strange feeling. Anyway, in terms of the paragraphs, I really also think that there was a while in New Jersey, I remember, where people would take people in for a week, or they had a week. There was where some people would run a workshop, and it was a hailstorm one time, and so we had to stay over for a night. And so I could see sometimes where there's a benefit to that. But if a family, you know, there used to be Al-Anon in terms of family members, and I think that that's really important. You know, I'm sorry that that has kind of faded. I live with somebody who has another addiction, and when he relapsed, I did talk to his friends in the program, because you know what? Just like another food addict could only talk to another food addict, you know? It's the same thing. Like, there's sometimes, like, we understand each other, and we know, like, what the story is. So, you know, I don't object to talking to, you know, somebody who's in the program, or if I sponsor somebody and then their family calls. I don't share anything personal, though. I don't share anything that that person has shared with me, because that's anonymity, you know. But if somebody had called one time and said, you know, it hasn't happened once that somebody was relapsing really badly, I would just say thank you for sharing. I can't share anything with you about them, but thank you. So that's it, and I'm so happy this meeting is here, because really, this is the first meeting I missed in years on Tuesday morning. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Irma from New Jersey. Sharon E., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Sharon E. from Ohio, gratefully recovered for today, and I'm really thankful for this meeting, and I really haven't had the chance to help someone in OA or even in other anonymous programs, but my mom and dad constantly had people living with us. That was just part of life. You helped people out, and it was okay with mom and dad, and that's important, the first paragraph, because it can create serious complications in a family. And when I did that, we did that when we were living in Texas. And one person that we had stay with us kind of overstayed their welcome and didn't pay rent the last month. And that kind of burnt my husband a bit. And then he was like, no, to the next person that wanted to. And she spent the night, but that was it, because he just was afraid. And then there was another person. I helped them, though. Like, I was able to help them. But one person was unable to handle things at the time. And so I went and I found her, and I took her to a hotel, and I made sure she had the place to stay and everything, because I felt really bad that I couldn't take her into my home because my husband was not willing. But that's where we really have to take into account those that we live with, And like right now, my son's living with us. But, you know, it's a different story. He's our son, and he's renovating the house. So kind of want him here. No, I'm just kidding. That's terrible. I'm not trying to be mean. But he is my son. So, of course, I want him around. I love him. But I love other people, too. And like other people on here have said, when we get to the point where we're people-pleasing, then that's bad for our program. And we don't want to do that because that causes us problems. And then in return, it causes other people problems, because when my program's bad, everybody around me suffers. And like my dad used to say, happy wife, happy life. That's not untrue. But in order to be happy, we need to be working within ourselves. And for me, it's this program. And that's something I really have appreciated, and I would never want to put that in jeopardy. So thank you all very much for listening, and have a good, blessed day.
Thank you so much, Sharon E. from Ohio. And I'll take another name. If, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs? Take one.
Barbara W.
Linda P.
Barbara W. And
Linda
put
P.
Linda P. down just in case we might have time. So go ahead, Barbara W.
Thank you so much. Barbara W. from Seattle. I realized that I really have had some experience with that. Occasionally I've had the reason to travel, but really not financially able to do the motel or anything like that. And it dawned on me that maybe I could contact another person with a similar addiction, you know, from OA. And I tried it once when my daughter was at Yosemite, a camp near Yosemite Park. And she was a counselor, and I wanted to visit because I'd never been there. And I contacted this woman. I don't remember her name. I don't think it's important. And asked her if I could stay for, I don't know, remember, two or three nights, and that she only had one bathroom, but she had a separate bedroom I could sleep in. And it turned out really nice because she wanted to know more about the Big Book. And we had a night where we just sat down with the Big Book, and I think we were reading it and talking about it. And it was a fabulous experience, and something I know in my heart took a lot of courage for me to step into someone's home, never met her, who knows who she was. But I took a risk, and it happened to turn out great. So I just wanted to share that experience of in reverse. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. from Seattle. And Linda, I'm sorry, but we don't have time. Please come back and share tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Sure, Don. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own home is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.